I'm Vanessa Ngube from Brethren in Christ Church, Lobengula, Bulawayo, in Zimbabwe, Africa. I'm going to be reading Isaiah 40, verse 28 to 31, the New Living Translation. 28, do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary, and his understanding no one can fathom. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Even the youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord shall renew their strength, and they shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint.
I thought it was important to have the scripture reading that Mennonite World Conference provided scripture readings in various languages. And just to hear someone from another country, a fellow follower of Jesus, share scripture, I thought was important. And I'm going to be rereading that scripture throughout. So if it was hard to understand, we'll get back to Isaiah 40. As we celebrate this day when we're remembering churches throughout the world who have a common faith in Jesus with us and a common Anabaptist background and an understanding of Scripture. Together, we are all proclaiming that Jesus Christ is our hope. And actually, every Sunday, we're proclaiming that, you know, as the church worldwide. But just to give the special focus that together we're reminding ourselves that we're part of something bigger here, of a group of people who are claiming that Jesus is the center of our life and the hope for today and for the future. So I want to, with this theme, especially think about Isaiah chapter 40. And Isaiah 40, we start it in verse 28. But it would be important actually to go back to verse 27 to set the stage for this message and for what Isaiah has to say. Because in Isaiah 27, Isaiah here is proclaiming, or he's speaking to the people, and he's saying, why are you saying this? Why are you saying that my way is hidden from the Lord and my right is disregarded by my God? You know, why this discouragement? Why this lack of hope? Isaiah is writing to this people who are in exile in Babylon, so there's a good reason for their lack of hope, the things that they've experienced as the people of God in recent times. But Isaiah here is trying to be an encourager for the people. Remember Chris said, three things we need, encouragement, encouragement, encouragement. This is what Isaiah is all about here in Isaiah 40. So his response is, when you're feeling like my way is hidden from God, my right is disregarded by my God, don't believe it. You know, don't let those voices speak into your heart. Because this is our God. And he goes on to reveal who God is, or remind them of who God is. He's the everlasting God, and he's the creator of the ends of the earth. And, you know, if we just stop there, God's the creator of all things, he's the eternal God, that wouldn't necessarily give us hope. Because there could be this powerful, eternal God who has no awareness of us. And what hope is there for me if there's this all-powerful God who has no care or love or faithfulness towards me? So I think that's why Isaiah would go on to say, this God of ours, he does not faint. He doesn't grow weary. There's no limit to God's strength. There's no limits to God's stamina. But also there's no limits to God's attention span as he looks upon us. There's no limit to God's faithfulness towards us as he serves as our good shepherd. This past weekend, Friday and Saturday, we had a snowman sleepover for our two grandkids, our two older grandkids. And there was times on Saturday when April declared free play. Like, do your own thing because we need a rest. You know, we're growing weary. And so we gave him that time. But interestingly, when Brooke came to pick them up, he said, it was great last night. We got to watch a movie, you know. But when the movie was over, we both said, we kind of miss our kids, you know. Maybe you can relate to that as parents or grandparents. But just reminded me, thinking about this scripture, that God, in his parental love, like never loses sight of us, never forgets about us. You know, even for these parents who had a free night, their children weren't far from their minds. And God doesn't grow faint or weary in remembering us and acting faithfully towards us. And the other thing that Isaiah says is that God's understanding no one can fathom. There's nothing beyond God's ability to comprehend. There's nothing that God is not aware of. This God who's continually alert and faithful. God never says, you know, you caught me off guard with that, you know, or I didn't see that coming. Or, now that's got me stumped. You know, there's plenty of times in life where we say that. We don't have understanding in this situation. But God's understanding, no one can fathom. No one can understand how his wisdom has no limits. But in contrast, we get weary. You know, we get discouraged. There's times we don't have answers. There's times that we lose hope. And so that's where Isaiah says, God gives strength in our weariness. He increases the power of the weak. Even youth grow weary. Young men stumble and fall. Just this acknowledgement that we face these times of weakness and discouragement. Even those we would think that were least likely to grow weary, the youth and the young people, even they, Isaiah says, grow weary and they stumble. Those that we count on to always be strong, they won't be strong always. Those who we think always have the answers don't always have the answers. Those who seem to never stumble in life, they do stumble in life. Those who always seem to be encouraged and are always providing encouragement, there's times even when they get discouraged. Psalm 62, which we looked at in the beginning, was our call to worship. I think it's David who's writing this, but he starts out really strong. Truly, God is my rock. He is my salvation. God is my fortress. I will never be shaken. But as he goes on in this psalm, he begins to describe himself as this leaning wall, a tottering fence, and they're trying to topple me. My enemies are trying to push me over and topple me. And we can experience that, whether it's literally personal enemies or just situations in life that really start to make us waver and shake and feel like we're not on solid ground and we're ready to be toppled over. In Revelation, just thinking about times that we're discouraged or we don't have the answers, I think about that image when in Revelation 5 when John's having this vision and this mighty angel proclaims, who is worthy to break the seals and to open the scroll? And the scroll is like the destiny of all creation. You know, God's plans for our future. But no one in heaven or on earth or under the earth could open the scroll or even look inside. You know, what do we do if no one's able to unleash or unlock God's future? And so John says, I wept and I wept because no one was found who was worthy to open the scroll or look inside. Then one of the elders said, do not weep. See, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has triumphed. He is able to open the scroll and its seven seals. And he goes on to describe Jesus as this lamb who looks as if he had been slain. On Monday, it was Martin Luther King Day. And so April and I, that evening, we watched the movie Just Mercy. And there was this one scene that really stuck out to me, again, with these scriptures in mind. Bryan Stevenson, the author of the book and the one who's the center of this movie, he graduates from Harvard with a law degree. It's from Maryland, but he goes to Alabama because he wants to work with those treated unjustly in prison, especially on death row. And as a young African-American man, he had, you get the sense he had experienced injustice in his own life, but nothing like he was surrounded with there in Alabama in his experiences. But he had just experienced this really discouraging court hearing where this man he was representing on death row just, they presented things that just clearly exonerated him. Like there, after hearing this testimony that he presented, there's no way you would think that he was guilty. Just refuted everything. And even the man, this case was hanging on this one man's testimony. And he got up on the stand and said, everything I said before was a lie. You know, so there was just nothing. So you went away from that scene thinking, well, this is a slam dunk. He's going to be released. But then the judge comes back and says, I'm not going to admit or hear anything that was presented today. I'm going back to the original verdict. And he's guilty and he's still facing death. So anyway, the scene that I'm thinking about is Brian Stevenson. They're sitting in a worship service. And it's an African-American worship service right in that community. So it's the community that's directly affected by this verdict. And not only this particular situation, but just experiencing lots of injustice in their community life together. So he's sitting there just clearly discouraged and dejected from what he just experienced. But all around him, there's this worship going on, singing, dancing, clapping, worshiping, by this community that is more deeply affected by all this than he is, as one who had just moved in. And it just struck me that as I watched that as a viewer, it didn't seem like this false kind of worship. Like we're gonna deny reality and just sing and worship. But in the midst of the discouragement and the weariness that they were feeling, they could still look to God with hope, the one who holds the key to their life and their hope, you know, and to give praise to Jesus. They were able to look up beyond this circumstance to see God in all this. And that's what Isaiah is saying. Have you not seen? Have you not come to understand? Have you not heard about God? There was this testimony that Mennonite World Conference literature put out for today. And there's the one testimony from a woman named Virginia in Zimbabwe. And she says, I was in this dark place in the summer of 2021 when my husband and my mom fell ill at the same time. My mother later passed away. And then later the next year, my husband again fell ill. It took more than 2 weeks for the doctors to come up with a diagnosis. Meanwhile, I watched helplessly as he suffered. Weak body, not eating, losing weight, drenching sweats. I almost despaired. And we're all praying for Ransom, Maryland, who are kind of going through something like that, trying to find answers as Maryland's struggling. And she said, at such times, the mind questions and almost blames God. I then remembered that God never promises a problem-free life, and God reminds me that I'm not alone and that I need to look up and to call upon God. And then she says some things here that I think are really helpful for us. I learned not to focus solely on the situation, just looking at that, because that would just fill me with despair. And I learned not to focus on myself, as then I would start to feel pity for myself. I learned not to look to someone else to blame, as that would just lead me to complaining and not to focus on the present, and it would make me miss the point of God, what God is doing in this present moment. And so I learned, she said, to look to God with hope and with optimism. I learned that hope is a position of optimism. God is good, God is working for our good, and God is in control. And above all, these dark moments have a beginning, a middle, and an end. They last only for a season. And so I learned to continue in hope. So a testimony from Virginia in Zimbabwe. So it leads us to the point then when Isaiah can say, those who do put their trust in the Lord, those who wait upon the Lord will renew their strength. God will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint. We'll get back to those three words, soar and run and walk. And in Luke 18, there's a story of this blind man who's along the road. In Matthew, he's identified as Bartimaeus, but in Luke, it's a blind man, unnamed, along the road as Jesus is entering Jericho. And as Jesus begins to come by, this blind man cries out, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." And then Luke says, those who were leading the way, who were leading the procession, rebuked this blind man and told him to be quiet. Stop bothering the master, you know. And it made me think, if we had this really important speaker coming here, and some of us were somehow leading the way, kind of organizers, leading this person towards the pulpit here, and along the way outside or in the hallway, someone's trying to get this person's attention or distract this person away from our important agenda for the day, maybe we'd say the same thing. You know, hey, leave it alone. We got something important going on here. And anyway, that's kind of the scenario here. But this blind man cries out all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me." Jesus stopped and ordered the man to be brought to him. And when he came near, Jesus said, "What do you want me to do?" "Lord, I want to see." Jesus said, "Receive your sight. Your faith has healed you." And immediately his sight was restored, and he followed Jesus, praising God. And when all the people saw it, they also praised God. So I just want to point out something here, especially thinking about hope, and we'll get into this more in a couple weeks when I share about my time down at Eastern Mennonite Seminary, talking about welcoming those with disabilities and thinking about healing and health and so forth. But where Jesus says, "Your faith has healed you," it's the same word where Jesus says, "Your faith has saved you." It's the word for save, to be restored, to come to divine safety and deliverance. And so always when Jesus is healing, it seems there's something even bigger going on. Not that restoring sight isn't amazing. You know, only the Messiah could restore sight and raise people from the dead. But notice after this blind man receives his sight and he begins to follow Jesus. You know, especially in Luke, Jesus is on the way. He's on the way to Jerusalem. He's on the way to complete his mission. He's on the way to like call people to himself and save and restore all creation. And in the story, this blind man's on the side. Like, he's out of that. He's not part of that, you know. And so what's going on, his salvation or his restoration here isn't just that he can see now, but now he's part of this move of Jesus to restore all things. Instead of being unworthy and being on the sidelines apart from that. There's hope for him as he cries out, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." So think about Jesus versus those who were trying to silence this man. Jesus is the very heart of God saying, "I hear your cries. I recognize the hope that you have." One of the testimonies coming out of Africa from Mennonite World Conference, someone asked these questions. What situation is so hard for you that it's hard to have hope? You know, think about that for your own experience right now. What situation is so hard that it's hard for you to have hope? Who's trying to silence you like these people trying to silence the blind man? Fix your eyes on Jesus. Don't allow anyone to silence your hope in Christ. Cry out even more. Call upon Jesus and he will respond. Jesus gives attention when you call out to him with hope. So that's a good question for us. You know, like, What is silencing our hope? What's silencing your hope? It might be our understanding of God. We might declare things about what we understand about God, but what is our heart's response when that shows our understanding of God? It can be at times that we feel like God's distant or disinterested. You know, for this blind man, it would be Jesus just moving forward, having no awareness of this man along the side of the road. You know, is that who God is to us sometimes? That takes away our hope, that silences our hope. Is God for us an angry God who's given up on us, who's judged us unworthy? Again, for this blind man, he could have easily felt like that. You know, I have no worth. I'm relegated to the side of the road. No one sees me as having any worth. That's going to silence our hope for God to move in our life. Do we understand a God who's just controlling everything? My fate is sealed. What can I do about it? Why should I bother calling out, Jesus, have mercy on me? We can think, you know, we're thinking about the worldwide church. What's discouraging for the church right now, whether it's here or anywhere around the world? Where might we feel like the progress of the gospel, the kingdom of God breaking through, just doesn't seem to be happening? Where's persecution happening, or where do we sense that the world just seems like it's gone in a different direction, and we seem to have no influence? At times, when do we feel like young people are turning away from the church, or we're experiencing divisions within the church? You know, what's silencing our hope in the church worldwide? We should pray about that later today. But often when all we can do is cry out for mercy, like this blind man, like when we have no resources of our own, and we just throw our trust in God's mercy in Jesus, that's often when God's free to move in our lives. When we really sense our eyes are open, that God really is engaged. He really is the everlasting God who's there when we're tottering and when we're weary. He's there to strengthen us. So I just want to close thinking about those three words, soar and run and walk. There's times we're trusting God and we're just soaring. You know, maybe that's not going to happen a lot in this life. That's a good picture of eternity as we just soar with God. At times we're going to be running, it seems, like just God is clearly leading us, revealing himself, that God's blessing what's going on in my life, in my church, in my world. But there's times when we're just walking. We're trusting in the Lord, and we're just walking. We have enough strength to take the next step. You know, we have enough encouragement just to take one more step. We're not lying down. We're moving forward. But it's just one slow step at a time. We're holding the faith. We're just doing the right thing for today. We're trying to keep the witness of Jesus alive in our lives and in our church. We're just finding that strength and perseverance that we need today. And we do that because Jesus Christ is our hope. So I just want to leave with these words that Peter said in First or Second Peter 1. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great love and mercy for us, he's given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, into an inheritance that will never perish, spoil, or fade away. And it's kept in heaven for you, even though now for a little bit of time you may suffer grief with all kinds of trials. Jesus Christ is our hope. Let's believe that and trust that other believers around the world are staying true to Jesus, our hope. Amen.